All right, let's go to the KRDO Newsline at 5:37 and say hello to Kutsia Nikki, who's an officer, Civil Legal System Modernization, and the Pew Charitable Trusts. Kutsia, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it very much. You know, when COVID-19 shuttered courthouses, civil legal systems rushed to adopt digital tools to support continued operations online. And that happened for the first time. You got to be kidding me. So that's the first time courthouses used online operations to deal with those type of court cases?
Thanks so much for having me, Dan. So courts were using some technologies prior to the pandemic. But we found that prior to the pandemic, almost no courts were using virtual hearings, for example, on a regular basis. And even though there were 37 states and DC that were allowing people without lawyers to electronically file paperwork with the courts, that was happening at a really slow rate of a handful of states a year between 1996 and 2019, so across 3 decades. After the onset of the pandemic, we saw an explosion in courts' use of technology. So every state in Washington, D.C. was allowing or requiring virtual hearings. And almost overnight, 10 states allowed people without lawyers to electronically file paperwork when they'd never done so before.
Wow, that is so interesting. So what did your research find out about courts' adoption of technology during the pandemic? And more specifically, what effects did they have on people's lives?
So we're all pretty familiar that the pandemic caused a lot of economic stress for people due to financial challenges. In the U.S. alone, 1 million people were evicted in 2020, and 9.6 million Americans lost their job. And I think what's less known is that a lot of these issues played out in our nation's state civil courts. So our report really was trying to understand how courts use technology to operate, and as you mentioned, what impact that had for people. And we found some interesting things. We found that we have some evidence that having technology involved in the legal system did increase the rates of participation. So, for example, we found that in Arizona, there was an 8% decrease in what's called default judgments in civil cases. So that means that there's an automatic judgment in favor of the plaintiff if the defendant either doesn't respond or doesn't show up. And so we saw similar things in other states as well. But that being said, there was a lot of imbalance between, technology disproportionately advantaged, we found, people who were represented. So a report from ProPublica found that in 2020, debt collectors were filing thousands of lawsuits, while in 8 states, people without lawyers couldn't file paperwork electronically in debt collection lawsuits. So that left a lot of people without a way to respond, as all of these lawsuits were being filed by debt collectors who often have legal representation. So in Colorado, for example, Colorado actually did allow people without lawyers to file paperwork electronically and respond to lawsuits in these types of cases, which was a really great step.
It is definitely interesting, and we got about 30 seconds left. I know this is going to be a hard question to answer in about 30 seconds, but if they choose to make the online option permanent, what are some of the things that court officials and policymakers can do to make it more accessible for people?
So they can make sure that they have processes in place that are more open, efficient, and equitable, and then determine how to use technology. They can test the technologies with users and litigants to make sure that they're working and take their feedback to make improvements. And they can evaluate, use data and evidence to analyze and make sure that the technologies are working effectively and make changes accordingly.
Okay, excellent. Boy, this is a really interesting topic. And Kutsia, thanks for taking some time out. We appreciate you joining us here on KRDO's Afternoon News.